I was feeling very important that I am a temple president. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, I said, what does it mean to be one of your temple presidents? And I was thinking he would say that you're empowered by Lord Chaitanya, or, you know, you're one of my generals on the front line fighting Maya. He stopped, he put his cane down, he sized me up, as they say in America, and he said, it means if anything goes wrong, it's your fault. Very good instruction, actually, what it means to me. So thank you for the very kind introduction. But I'm a member of ISKCON's governing body. If anything goes wrong, you can get the email from Gauranga Prabhu and you can let me know about it. So we're going to chant for just a moment. You know, I'd forgotten how beautiful this temple room is. It's really nice. I feel like I've gone back, you know, a few hundred years to a nice... No, it's very nice. And it's bona fide because you have people in the windows like this, you know?
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Gopijana Balaba Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Bhajajana Lanjana Yasoda Nandana Bhajajana Lanjana Chamuni Tira Vanatari Jamuna Tira Vanatari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Gopijana Balaba Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanatari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Piribhaja Kishore Asitatashi Shimnas Divine Grace Abhay Charan Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Iskan BBT Founder Chart
Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Ananda Kura Vaishnavinda ki.
Jai.
Nam Chai Shla Hedasta Kura ki.
Jai.
Prim Shugahu Shishan Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shidweta Gadadar Shiva Sari Go Bhakta Vinda ki.
Jai.
Sisi Radhakishan Go Gopina Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan ki.
Jai.
Vrindavadam ki.
Jai.
Majuradam ki.
Jai.
Thwakadam ki.
Jai.
Navaridam ki. Jagnapuridam ki.
Jai.
Jamunamai ki. Gangamaki,
Tosi
Maharaniki, Bhakti Deviki, Samveda Bhakti Vindiki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Radha Gopinath, is it? Shishi Radha Gopinath ki, Gopremanandi, all glories of the Sama devotees, all glories of the Sama devotees, all glories of the Sama devotees, all glories of the Divine Lotus Feet, the Sisi Guru and Goranga. Om Namo Bhagavata Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminite Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Bhaskachade Satarane Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasari Govabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Just as a sidelight, you know, a bird flies in the sky according to its ability. So the expectation of me and my great satisfaction is I'm expected to tell some pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. So I'll try to weave that in here, but I was just thinking of one thing. I was in the room one time, and a Sanskrit professor, and we're fine. Sanskrit is, you know, we love Sanskrit. It brings out deep meanings of the purports and the message. Don't get me wrong. But this man was a little puffed up. You know, we use this word puffed up like a chapati, you know, full of hot air. Poof, you know. So this guy was a little puffed up. And he was trying to impress Srila Prabhupada. And he said, Swamiji, is it Krishna? Is it Krishna? Is it Krishna? Prabhupada said, don't worry, he knows who's calling. So I appreciate the nice, sincere Hare Krishna. It's very nice, Hare Krishna here. We are going to say a little something about Gaur Leela, but I wanted to say something a little more about Siddhanta. You know, Prabhupada said that, actually he told Sataputta this. He said, you know, Sataputta Prabhu was one of the founding members of our Bhaktivedanta Institute. Double PhD, statistics and theoretical physics, tenured professor at 28 years old at Cornell University, a genius. He was one of the most brilliant. Surrendered everything to Srila Prabhupada. And he helped, actually, he's the mastermind behind the planetarium, that design, you know, that takes the whole fifth canto of the Bhagavatam and describes it according to all modern astronomy, astrophysics, the whole thing. It's just based on the... Now one thing is, cell phones. You will be amazed to find that on your cell phone there's an off button. And if you shut your phone off, don't worry, the bad news will still be there when you turn it back on. So you can off, and then, now this is where I'll get everyone thinking, oh yeah, yeah, he's, everyone thinks I'm talking to the person next to them, you know? So, but here, now I'm going to get your attention. At our temple in the UK, Bhaktivedanta Manor, if your cell phone goes off during the talk, you have to donate £10 to the deities. And do we have a hundi right here?
Yeah.
So there, our temple president, you know, yeah, he likes this point. No, for Krishna's service, you know. So if your cell phone goes, it's a public audience, everyone's going to know, hundi's right here. You can do the, what is the rupee exchange rate? You can figure out how many pounds to... No, but only because it's in it. You know, I'm insignificant. Who cares for me? But the message is important. So it's nice if just for a little while we can step out of the hustle and bustle and shut off the cell phone. People say sometimes, because if once I saw a bumper sticker, I like these bumper stickers in America because it gives an indication of the psyche of the people. And there was a bumper sticker that said, if you're not paranoid, you haven't been paying attention. In other words, this world, and I have to say something else. These deities are absolutely gorgeous. You know, Prabhupada said that darshan, we don't know darshan. Darshan means we come to see Krishna, isn't it? But Prabhupada said darshan also means that Krishna likes to see us. We're seeing Krishna and he likes to see all of his devotees have come. So very, very beautiful. Okay, so, oh, a little off the track. Bhaktivedanta Manor, Prabhupada sitting here, and deities are here. Question and answer period. A man stands up, he's in the middle right here, and he says, can you see God? Can you see God? Prabhupada said, yes, but you're standing in the way. Sit down. So yeah, there's no doubt, this beautiful Radha Gopinath, ki jai. So, people say, if there's God, then why doesn't he just come and straighten everything out? Why doesn't he just come down here? You know, why all this, you know, shadow game that, you know, I've got to, maybe there's God and I, you know, it's Shastra and try and find the secret. Why doesn't he just come and show himself? Well, guess what? Paritranaya sadunam vinasyayam tadiskitam. What is it? Sambhavami yuge janmakar dharma. Sorry, I'm a little tired. But my point is, yuge, yuge. Krishna comes again and again and again. Krishna does come. And this world, you know, it's working with yugas. Our Vedic picture of the creation is it's cyclical. And we have Satya Yuga, then you have Treta Yuga, then you have Dwapara Yuga, and you have Kali Yuga. Anyone know what yuga we're in now? Any doubt what yuga it is? The age of quarrel, confusion, hypocrisy. Bhagavatam says people are lazy, unlucky, misguided, and above all, always disturbed. So in this age, Krishna does come. Maybe I should say this first. I was with Tamal Krishnamurti one time. One of the great heroes of our society. And we were at the University of Michigan. Big Sanskrit professor, studied at University of Chicago, one of the best Sanskrit schools in the world. Polished his studies off at Oxford. Tamal Krishnamurti asked him, have you read Bhagavad Gita? He was, of course I've read Bhagavad Gita. I've read it in Sanskrit. Tamal asked him, did you understand it? I'm a Sanskrit professor. Of course I understood it. And then Tamal Krishnamurti asked him, so what are you going to do? And you saw this look of puzzlement come over the man's face. That the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita was meant to invoke some action from understand. Suppose I say, you're a nice young man. Suppose I say, Prabhu, can you get me a glass of water? And you say, Jai Prabhu. But he doesn't move. I say, hey, Prabhu, can you get me a glass? I'm trying to speak. Can you get me a glass of water? Jai Prabhu. But he doesn't move. You can. He heard, you know, the little sound vibration went through, the little, you know, the bones in the ear, and that it went to the auditory, you know, whatever it is, you know, it went to the brain. But did he really hear me? Proof of hearing is he gets up and gets a glass of water. I have water, don't worry. But so what is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? People say, you ask him, what is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? 90% of the people will say, especially in India, oh, it is do your duty. I do your duty. Well, what does that mean? You know, take care. No doubt we have, you know, different. Prabhupada said a train runs on two tracks. You know, picture a train, two tracks. One is called conditional. One of those tracks is conditional. The other is constitutional. So we have conditional duties, which means according to our condition. You know, according to our ashram, students have duty, children have duty, husband has duty, parent has. We all have our, according to our station in life, at a particular time and place, we have duties based on those conditions. But there's another rail that the train needs, both rails. That other rail is called the constitutional duties. And our constitution is the essence of the thing. Like sugar is sweet, chili is hot. Suppose I say, oh, here's a sweet chili. What's that? No, that's not going to help me out here. So I say, oh, here's hot sugar. No, that's not going to. You put hot sugar in the halva, no one's going to appreciate, you know. The essence of the thing. So the essence, our essence, is Nitai Sarup Krishna Das, that we're eternally the servants of Krishna. That's our. So we have to run our life on those two tracks. But generally speaking, they just focus on the conditional. Oh, you do your duty, you do your duty. Take care of your family, make some money, buy a little house. I was driving out to Mira Road today, and they had some of those skyscrapers are 40 stories tall, you know? And each, you see, when you see from a distance, it's just a little, like, maybe eight flats. So what is 40 times 8? 320, something like that, you know? 320 flats in this one of. Prabhupada said that the goal of life is to not get a pigeonhole in a skyscraper building. And you, next time you go out, you see it looks like a little pigeonhole. I was thinking, even the pigeons, they can fly in and out. We've got to take the elevator, you know. Pigeons have a better setup. Hare Krishna. So this is not to do your duty, you know, take care of your family, make some money, get a little pigeonhole in a skyscraper building and drop dead kijai. That is not the mission of life. So conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, do your duty, they say like that. But does anyone know what the real 18th chapter, verse 65, what is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? Sarva dharma parityaja. What does it mean? You just give up all of the dharmas, all of the duties, and you surrender unto me. Become manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mamna. You become my devotee. You surrender to me, you become my devotee. But in Kali Yuga, people are so bewildered that what does that mean? You know, like sometimes the teacher, the student is trying to write A on the chalkboard, A, B, C, and they're just not getting it. Sometimes the teacher has to take the child's hand and say, no, like this, A, B, C, right? So Krishna, the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is just surrender unto me. But in Kali Yuga, people are so confused. There's one rascal. Actually, there's so many rascals. But one particular rascal. He says that Hari, conclusion of the Shastras, you surrender to Hari. Now, what does Hari mean? Hari means one who takes away, isn't it? Who takes away? Thieves take away. When are thieves busy? Are you a thief? How do you know? No. I'm just joking. Sorry, Prabhu, I'm just joking. Thieves are busy at night. At night it's dark, isn't it? When it's dark, everything is unknown. So when it says surrender to Hari, it doesn't mean the personality, Bhagwan. It means surrender to the unknown. Only in Kali Yuga would someone get away with that. If I said to you, touch your, Prabhu, we're going to do a little quick exercise. Please touch your nose, Prabhus, Vaishnavis, Mati, touch your nose. Complicated thing? No. Do like this. It becomes a very difficult thing. So in Kali Yuga, people are so bewildered, the simple truth of Bhagavad Gita is lost. And in this age, as the Yuga avatar, Krishna comes himself as the perfect devotee to show the example, like the teacher does the ABC. This is the external. There's the internal reason, and there's external. Internal we'll talk about a little later on. But the external reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he comes to show the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Just surrender unto me. Just become my devotee. And how to do that? The
Let's see, because I'm thinking of the time factor. Well, I guess I'll say it this way. You know Vaisheshika Prabhu? Vaisheshika Prabhu is a wonderful devotee. He travels all over the world. He's mostly based in America. He's one of the top bookers. He's really one of the main inspirations for book distribution in the world. And he's a scholar and a saint. He's just a spotless Vaishnava. So I like to hear him answer things, how he answers. So he was in the question and answer booth one time at the L.A. Temple, Rath Yatra. And so I wanted to hear how he was answering. And so somebody asked, you know, Western doesn't know anything. They asked, what does Hare Krishna mean? He said, it means, I need help. And this is very nice, very nice, you know. So, but they're thinking, the materialist, oh, this, you know, you religious people, you spiritual people, this is for old ladies and people afraid of death, you know, and you know, if you need some emotional crutch to get through the night, fine, you believe in this magical thinking that there's a God in the sky and a ghost in the box, that there's a soul. But I'm a self-made man. I stand on my own two feet. I don't depend on anyone. You ever meet people like that? Come to America. We'll ship a few to you. If you got a shortage, we'll send you a few, you know. We got plenty, you know. So suppose I say, I don't depend on anything. I'm a self-made man. I will no longer breathe air. Oh! Okay, watch. How long am I going to make it? You know, what is it, like a deep sea? I think those free divers, they can go, whatever it is, 8 minutes, something like that. Maybe, let's 10 minutes, let's be generous. But after 10 minutes, he has to breathe. So to admit an honest dependency, that's not an emotional imbalance. That's a sign of intelligence. If I stood here and said, I'm not going to depend on air, that's a sign of mental illness. Isn't it? It's not a sign of health. It's a sign of psychosis. So to admit an honest... Prabhupada said one time, you think you're sitting on the floor? I am sitting in the hand of Krishna. Crying babies. That's the other thing. Cell phone. Every crying baby, you get three cries. Like American baseball. One, two, three. And third strike, Mataji. No, I don't matter, but it's so that the audience can focus. So I was riding on the airplane. I was coming here from Calcutta to Mumbai. The man next to me says, Swamiji, I am an atheist. So those who know me, I'm working on it. I have a little bit of a fiery personality. I apologize, but it's just, I'm working on it. It's my nature. So he said, Swamiji, I am an atheist. So I said, then you, sir, are a big fool. He was a little surprised, you know. So I asked him, I said, what do you do? And he said that I'm an aeronautics engineer. I'm very proud. IIT graduate. I'm an aeronautics engineer. I said, okay. I said, what's the most recent project that you worked on? He said, I worked on the 777 Dreamliner. I said, okay. I said, did you design the whole plane? He said, oh, no, Swamiji. He said, I designed a portion of the hydraulic system. I said, okay. How many people were working on it? He's a team leader. So I said, how many people are on your team? He said, 30 plus. So I said, okay, how many systems are in the airplane? He said, oh, there's the mechanical, there's the fuel, there's the electrical, there's the AC. He went on and on and on. I said, so just generally. He said, there's about 25 major systems for running the airplane. Each of those systems has an average of 30 engineers. So what is that? 25 times 30, what does that give us? Huh? So 750. IIT graduate, top brains.
And then I said, and what about subcontractors? Because there's so many other pieces. He said, oh, if you add that together. So you know, we sat together, we did the math. There's about 3,000 engineers work on this airplane. Okay? Now, those airplanes, I don't want to scare anybody, but they crash sometimes. You know? And sometimes there's an announcement, you know, please fasten your seatbelt. And they shake, you know, so many different things. And I think they can travel, what, usually 500, 600 miles an hour. Right? And what is the 777 Dreamliner? How many people? Maybe 500 people on it? Okay. So he's very proud of this airplane. Sometimes it crashes. It can only go 500 miles an hour. It can only hold, you know, 500 people on it. And it goes, you know, they're very proud. So I said, Sarvalokamaheshwaram. That Krishna's the master of all the planets. Unlimited planets. Let's take one planet, Earth. First off, it's traveling at 1,800 miles a second around the sun. 500 miles, 1,800 a second. You know? And not only, you know, Krishna's a transcendental show-off, you know, like he holds Govardhan Hill with his left hand, little finger, you know? So not only is it flying around the sun at 1,800 miles per second, it's spinning. You know, it's spinning and going around the sun. And what is the population of the Earth? Is the 6 billion people is the population of the Earth? 500? 6 billion. Huh? And they all have, you know, weight restriction, isn't it? It gets tighter and tighter, weight restriction, you know? How much do you think the Himalayan mountains weigh? Add on that so many seven oceans, you know, Himalayan mountains, and what is it, 25 kg? Well, what do they let you on with now, you know? And do you ever get an announcement? Is there ever a voice in the sky? Human population, put on your seatbelt, Terry, you know? We don't even feel a little ruffled. My sikha isn't flapping, you know. I'm not. There's nothing, and we're going 1,800. You know? So I said to him, I said, we're not talking magical thinking. We're not asking you, okay, no doubt we have the deepest faith in the Vedas. I don't want to get too far afield, but just for fun, we are finite beings. That can easily be proven. There's limits to our intelligence, limits to our senses, limits to our so many things, you know. One devotee stood up in Prabhupada's room. Oh, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen, I'm the most sinful, I'm the most... Prabhupada said, actually, you're not the most anything. Sit down. So, you know, we're finite beings. Suppose I want to shake hands with you, young man. And suppose I'm glued to this seat. I'm limited in my reach. Not yet. Can I shake hands with him? What do you think? Possible or impossible for me to shake? I can only stretch this far. Can I shake hands with him or not? You say no. Are you sure? Show me. If he takes the initiative, then it becomes very easy. We are finite. Therefore, if we want to understand the absolute, it is a revelatory process. It is a descending process. You cannot take the kingdom of God by storm. You have to act in such a way that the infinite is pleased to reveal itself to the finite. So my point is that we're not talking magical thinking here. We have deep faith in the Vedas, their revelation, you know, their descending knowledge, no doubt about it. But just for a moment, all I was asking my atheist friend, all I was saying is, just be seamless in your logic. If you accept that it takes... Hare Krishna, okay? We'll give her a free cry, because she crashed her head. No harm, no foul. If it takes 3,000 top intelligence to make this tiny little mosquito of a thing, this little airplane, you know? And one planet, unlimited planets of infinitely more potency. That happened by chance? That has no intelligence behind it? Please explain the seamless logic behind that.
The man had no answer. He said, but Swamiji, he said, I'm a moral man. I'm an honest man. I said, do you drink tea? Do you drink milk? Because I'd watched him put a little milk on his tea. I knew I had him. So I said, do you drink milk? He said, yes, Swamiji, I'm drinking milk. I said, fine. I said, I'm going to give you some straw, and I want you to make me a glass of milk. He said, I can't do that. I said, then you're a thief. You're taking Krishna's milk, and you're not recognizing where it came from. So the point is, in so many different ways, if one is simply logical, that behind this creation, there is intelligence, and we are dependent on that intelligence. Having faith in the Supreme is not a matter of blind faith or sentiment. It is logical understanding. It is a sign of intelligence, not sentiment. So, and I'm thinking of the time, in the U.S., I guess I'll say it this way. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari, give me a new car and a house by the sea. God is an ATM machine, you know, just Ashtavad, give me blessings and don't bother me too much, you know. I'm not picking on Hindu. This is throughout, it's called Kanista, it's a lower understanding. Christian, we have our Mahavakya, you know, we have our four cornerstone verses of the Bhagavatam, second canto Bhagavatam. So the Christians, they also have their Mahavakya. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And in that Lord's Prayer, one of the sutras, one of the lines is, give us this day our daily bread. Prabhupada said, actually, that's not really love of God, it's love of bread. So, okay, they're recognizing the right source. Suppose you had somebody, and everybody came to you, was just asking you for something. Everybody who came in your door, one time the devotees went to meet one of the Birlas, and they brought a big picture, you know, of Radha Krishna, nice, beautiful picture of our deities, Radha Govinda. They gave him the picture, and he reached for his wallet to pay for it. So he said, no, you can't pay for this. He said, why do you want to pay for it? He says, I don't want to be indebted to anyone. Everyone's asking me for something. He said, if I open the window, I'm afraid the wind's going to come in and ask me for money. Completely in anxiety. So the devotees told him, no, you can't afford this painting. He said, I'm Burl, I can pay. He said, no, this is priceless. This takes pure devotional service. You can't, you know, purchase like that. But the point is that what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also, that's what I wanted to say. Well, I guess I'll say it this way. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving, the Christian is thinking, the Hindu is thinking, the Muslim is thinking, whatever they are, they're thinking, if God doesn't feed me, I'll die. Okay, fine. We appreciate that. Ahamsa Vasya Prabhaho Matasavam Pavartate. They're recognizing the source of all things. We offer our respects, no doubt about it. But it's not a very high level of God, of love. Mother Yasoda, why did she tie Krishna up to the mortar? Because she was thinking that how will I have to cook these nice milk sweets to feed Krishna? Mother Yasoda is thinking, if I don't feed Krishna, Krishna will die. How to feed him nicely? So one love is, God feed me, or I'm going to die. And the other emotion is, let me feed Krishna. Krishna needs me. Krishna needs this Braj Bhumi mood. Prabhupada, I was on a walk with Prabhupada. And there was a statue. This was in Belle Isle Park in Detroit. And there was a statue. You know Atlas? The Greek god Atlas. So Prabhupada saw this statue. He wanted to go over and see what it was. So Prabhupada asked, what is this? And there's Atlas. And he's holding up the earth, you know? And he's got big muscles and, he's strong. You know? So Prabhupada said, what is this? And they'd explained that this is Atlas and he's holding up the earth. Prabhupada said, no, we're not interested in this kind of god.
Prabhupada said, our Krishna is holding up all the planets and he's a little bit fat from Mother Yasoda's butter. This is, Prabhupada, Mukunda Maharaj told me this. One man came to the temple early 1966. And he said, Swamiji, some Indian yogi has come and he is God, he is Bhagavan. Prabhupada said, and the man said, I'm going for darshan. I'm going for darshan of Bhagavan. Prabhupada said, offer my respects. So he went. The cell phone. The man came the next day. So Prabhupada asked him, how was your darshan with Bhagavan? The man said, it was canceled. He had to go to the dentist. Prabhupada said, we're not interested in this kind of God, you know, that he has to go to the dentist. So, this suppose I, again, you're a nice young man. Suppose I give you $100 US. You think, great, GBC should visit more often. Come again soon, So you go back to the ashram. I don't know if you're living as a brahmacharya, but you go back to the ashram or whatever. You say to the Prabhus, hey, this Bhajanrayan Swami came, and I told you, you just keep this for yourself. You buy some chadar or you get whatever you need. So, hey, he goes back and tells his friends, hey, this Bhajanrayan Swami gave me 100 US. And all of us, and all your friends say, gee, that's funny. He gave all of us $1,000 each. What is this? You know, at one minute you're thinking very happy, and the next minute you're thinking I'm cheated. So again, what does it mean to get the best thing from Krishna? People are thinking to get some material solution to this world. Prabhupada was riding on a train one time. And Prabhupada would write his books early in the morning, you know. Harikesh told me this. Often early in the morning, we're talking 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, Prabhupada would be doing his translating work, and if he knew that one of his servants or secretary was up, he would call them in and there'd be some sweet, nice, you know, Prabhupada would sell something wonderful. So Harikesh wanted to create one of those moments. So you know the Prabhupada's rooms in Vrindavan? Anyway, there's Prabhupada's darshan room, and then there's that little ante room, that reception area in front. So Harikesh was ostensibly cleaning up that room, but he was actually just trying to make enough noise so Prabhupada would know he was awake, so he was moving the desk around, kind of banging things around. Sure enough, Prabhupada called him in. But Prabhupada said, why are you making so much noise? Prabhupada said, you have to understand, I'm writing these books. I have to choose every word so carefully because these books will stand for the next 10,000 years. So, Prabhupada is giving us what is... So back to my example of 100 and 1,000. To get some material solution in this world... on the train, Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada was doing his translating work. And usually people, they try to slip in, Swamiji, give some blessings. So the devotees were standing, it was like rugby match, you know, the devotees were standing guard, a moment's inattention, these three men slipped in. And they said, Swamiji, can you give us our blessings, you know? And they expect the Swami to be like an ATM, shanti, in and out, right? But Prabhupada was not that, because Prabhupada wanted people to think. He wanted them to know what they're doing and actually make advancement. So Prabhupada said, what are those blessings? They'd never been asked. They thought just like an ATM, you put your card and get the money out and go, you know. Well, what do you mean, what is a blessing? Well, what are those blessings? So the one man said, I have this arthritis in my knee. Obviously wrong answer. So the man was a little intelligent. He said, and may my family be happy. I want my family to be happy. You know? Prabhupada, again, wrong answer. So they said, like concentric circles going out from himself to his family. Then he said, and happiness for the world, happiness for the world. Prabhupada, again, no. Prabhupada said, "You want my blessings?" And he pointed to Satsarupa Swami, thin, little, austere, like Sudam Brahma, Brahmana. He said, "You want my blessings? You take this saffron cloth." "Oh, no, no, thanks, Swami." They were gone in a second, you know. It was actually Prabhupada's joke to get rid of them. Yeah, it worked quite effectively. But it's also true. If sometimes you're carrying a heavy bag, you know, and your arm gets tired. So you shift it to the other arm. Oh, such relief. How long does that last? Then the other arm gets tired, isn't it? Oh, then you put it on your head. Oh, such relief, you know? But you have to keep shifting. The pain is still there. The inconvenience is still there. The fact of the matter is, young man, not to pick on you, but you're sitting in front. That's what you get. Suppose I give you a nice big lump of coal, right? And I say, "Prabhu, please, can you clean this coal for me?" He said, "What? No, no, no. I'll give you brush, so many cleansing solutions, so many things. You just clean this for me." Can he clean it? It is the nature of the thing to be black. The message is, this material world is a difficult place. When you buy something, you read the owner's manual, isn't it? You want to know how the thing works. Even in America, they have, you know, canned vegetables, 30 years old, washed of any life, but there it is. So they had the instructions how to cook canned corn. You know, it said, open can, pour in pot, heat and stir to taste. I mean, a trained monkey can do that, you know? So they thought, why waste the space on the label? They took the instructions off. They were flooded with letters. People putting in the microwave oven, blowing up the microwave, you know, what to do, you know? So even a simple thing like canned corn, how to heat, comes with instructions. So we have Bhagavad Gita. It is the owner's manual. It is the operator's manual how to live in this world. So the owner is certifying. The creator of the thing is certifying. This world is temporary and full of miseries. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to give that message that there is a higher taste. People are thinking, it's one of the big myths in this world. And I think I mentioned this yesterday at Wada. When I was a kid, this was an eye-opening experience for me. This is what they call it, a watershed moment in my life. My brother and I, my father called us fool number one and fool number two. Because my brother had all kinds of foolish ideas, and I enthusiastically followed him. My father was a very good man. I'm just joking. He was a very good man. Materially, he was a very nice father. But he used to joke with us, fool number one, fool number two. He used to say, two half-wits make a nitwit, because of the two of us, you know. So we went to the cinema. You know, we're just small, chill. I think I was maybe 6 years old. My brother was 10, 4 years older. So I was in the care. You know, in America in those days, we never used to lock our doors. It was a whole different world in those days, you know. So my mother dropped us off at the cinema. My brother's there to watch us. And my mother gave me a little pocket money so I could buy some little snick snack, you know, the intermission. You had the two movies in the intermission, so I get some snick snack. So I remember I was holding my brother's hand and I was looking at all the different types of snick snack, all the different candy bars. And being a lusty little, you know, little kid, I calculated how I could get the most benefit for my money. So I calculated what was the biggest candy bar. So I gave my, in those days it was 5 cents or 10 cents, whatever, but I gave my money and I got my candy bar. And I opened the thing up. Package was this big. Two little candy things fell out. I said, what is... It was on a cardboard tray, you know, a card. I said, what? And it was my first experience of being cheated. I said, why I've been cheated? I said, how can they do that? He said, get used to it. The whole world is like that, you know? So we're not for cheating. The message of Bhagavatam, it's Amala Parana. It's not for cheating. If I have a boil, you know, and I go to the doctor, do I say, oh, just put some ice on it? No, he's got a cut. He's got to cure the thing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. That was my point. We are thinking, we are conditioned. One time they said, you've probably heard this before, but they said to Srila Prabhupada, one man said that this chanting is brainwashing. So Prabhupada said, if the brain is dirty, shouldn't it be washed? And then Prabhupada said, actually, get a brain, then we'll wash it. The man said, so, well, I have a brain. Prabhupada said, if you have a brain, it's cow dung. And Prabhupada could be very heavy, you know. So, we are, the average American, under hypnosis, can remember over 375 commercial jingles. You know, little slogans. You see all the signboards, they have all those slogans, you know? A good reason for brainwashing. You know, it's all rattling. But the point is that we are conditioned to a certain view of life. I think Nike, is that a cell phone? I'm trying to get some money for the deities. I don't know. Is it Nike? You know, Nike shoes? Their slogan is just do it. Don't you think you should think before you do it? Animals just do it. But a human being is meant to think once, twice, three times before you do something, you know? So we have all these slogans. We have this vision in our mind. And that vision is that if we get more, bigger, better, newer, faster, we'll become happier. And we are simply being cheated. We are being turned into consumer units. Because if you don't buy new, if you don't buy bigger, if you don't buy better, so-and-so's factory can't produce more, you know? So you've got to consume more, consume more, consume more. And people are being cheated, and we're being squeezed. Like, they have dog races? Not, they don't have dog races here. In America, they have dog races. And what they do is they have a fake rabbit, and the rabbit goes in a circle. It's on a stick. You know, it's set up mechanically. And the dove, they're all chasing after the rabbit. You know, they're trying to think they're going to get it. We should not be like that. Or Prabhupada gives it, well, that'll be enough. We're chasing after false conception. Now, what does Krishna say? We're thinking, Krishna describes lust. What does he say about lust? Kama. What does he say about it? It burns like fire and it's never satisfied. Again, I think I mentioned this at the farm. My brother and I, fool number one and fool number two, we went camping one time. You know, family vacation, little holiday for the weekend. So we're out in the forest, some nice lake is there, little tent, you know, just for fun. So my father had made a fire. And, you know, it became time to go to bed, evening time. So he took some clear liquid. I didn't know what it was. I was 4 years old, so my brother would have been, you know, whatever. So I saw my father throw this clear liquid on the fire. Fire went out. Fantastic. So next day, my parents are sitting down by the lake looking at the nice view. Idle mind is a devil's workshop. My brother and I thought, hey, let's make a fire. So we got everything together. We started a fire. It's going along nicely. Starts getting bigger and bigger. Oh, we better put it out. So I saw my father. He got some clear liquid. He put the fire out. So I thought, fantastic. I'll get some clear liquid. I got a big red can full of clear liquid. You know what it said on that big red can? Petrol. Gasoline, we call it in America. So I didn't know. Clear liquid. I threw it on the fire. Whoosh. Now, two things happen sequentially. One after the other. Okay? One, two. Does anyone know the first thing that happened? First thing that happened, not second. You're thinking second. I'm asking you first thing. Huh? Who said fire dies down? Who said fire? Yeah. Fire, I think it cuts off the oxygen, so it goes down for a moment. So fool number one, fool number two, my brother and I, solve that problem. What is the next thing that happened? Kaboom! I swear to you, Prabhu's Matajis, it blew off my eyebrows. Took 6 months to grow back. No, it's true. You know, it was a good lesson, you know. So, if you throw more fuel on the fire, does the fire go out? It simply increases. Prabhupada told us, what is the measure of a person's strength? They have the Olympics. The Olympics are advertised. Feats of strength. They can jump so far or run so fast or lift so, you know, these are feats of strength. But what is it? Vacho Vega, Manasa Veda, Krodha Vega, you know, like that. And that, what is it? What is it? I'm a little tired, you know. Vishvaheta Sadira, you know. What is the, one becomes Dira, one who's able to tolerate. Prabhupada said the measure of a, all the senses are on fire. We're living in a city of nine gates, and the eye, tongue, all the different, you can do the math, all the different openings of the body, they're all on fire. And if you throw more fuel on them, they don't become satisfied, they burn even more. But if one learns the art of tolerating, then one can, you know, then one's actually, that's the measure of a man's strength. But Bhagavad Gita also explains how to tolerate. If a small child is playing with something dangerous, you know, something, you know, scissors or knife or something like that, and you take it away, what will the child do? Huh? They'll cry like anything, isn't it? But if you take a little car key or a little toy or something, they'll drop it immediately and they'll, you know, because they have a higher taste. So we should appreciate what we have received, because I'm thinking we're going to wrap up in a minute. We were sitting with Prabhupada in a room one time. And you can go, if you go to Los Angeles Temple, you can go up to Prabhupada's darshan room. And Prabhupada, low desk like this, and behind the desk there's a big window. Big, you know, like we call it bay window, but big window like this. And it was a cold day. Everyone was all, you know, chadars and cap and like scarf, like it was a cold day. And for one moment, the clouds parted, and a big golden ray of sun. You know how sometimes it'll come through a window like a shaft of light? This big golden ray of light right on Srila Prabhupada. It was bathing Srila Prabhupada. So all of us, we were literally in darkness and figuratively in darkness. And Prabhupada was in this ray of light. And Prabhupada didn't miss a thing, you know. Prabhupada said, yes. He said, someday you will feel your sunlight, this sunlight, like your lover's embrace. Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon, so many things. So this, we're going to do just for a moment, a quick thought exercise. Okay? You're all with me? I want you to think, you're all devotees, so immediately you'll think of Krishna, no doubt about it. And then you'll think of your Guru Maharaj. Okay, fine, no problem. But third in that, think of the person you love the most in this world. Maybe it's your mother or your father or some college, you know, some schoolmate friend or some, you know, something like that. Think of the person, someone like that, who you love the most. Take a moment. You got a picture in your mind? Okay. Now suppose you haven't seen that person for 5-10 years. And all of a sudden they walk in the door. How do you feel? Ah, how are you? You're so happy to see. You know, that they can say in America, the heart skips a beat, you know? So think about, take that emotion you're feeling now, multiply it by 10. How are you feeling? Ah, nice, huh? Now take that emotion, multiply it by another 10. How are you feeling? And we read in Shastra, the experience of the great saints who are actually experiencing Krishna's darshan. You know, they're stunned, they're shedding tears, their heart is stopping, so many things. So instead of settling for these little 10-cent pleasures of this world, this little throwing fuel on the fire and thinking it's going to make it happy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give pure Krishna prema. This pure Krishna prema is so valuable, so excellent, that even Krishna himself, Krishna is the source of all pleasure. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Prabhupada says, reservoir of all pleasure. Rama, Krishna, he's all attractive. And yet he's wondering, what is Radharani tasting? He's analyzing, he's thinking, Radharani's enjoying more than me. So what is that taste? There, we got you, but where are you? I won't admit it. Taptakanchana Gaurangeva, that Krishna Shyam Sundar becomes wrapped in the mood of beautiful golden Radharani, and he becomes Gauranga. And he comes to this world just to taste that pure Krishna prema. So we should appreciate what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming, as I was describing, the Yuga avatar coming in this age, clearing all doubts, clearing all anxieties, again fixing us in our constitutional position, Nittai Swarup Krishna Das, and flooding us with pure Krishna prema. I'll give you an example, two quick examples. When do we go till? A couple more minutes, isn't it? Prabhupada sent two devotees, Brahmananda Maharaj, Pusta Krishna Brahmachari as his assistant. 1971, he sent them to, of course now it's Bangladesh, but in those days it was East Pakistan. He sent them to East Pakistan, Dhaka, for preaching. Bangladesh war broke out, 1971. Prabhupada sent a telegram, too dangerous, leave immediately. So they were trying to get across. Pakistan army was setting up checkpoints. They were taking off trains, off buses, off taxis, anyone trying to flee if they were Hindu, and machine gunning them and killing them. That's a fact, historical fact. So you can imagine everyone was, you know, taking off Kunti Mala, snipping off Sika, trying to, you know, grow fast so they could get a beard on, you know, what to do. Brahmananda, Pusta Krishna are on a bus. They're just coming to the border. Pakistani soldiers checkpoint, they get on the bus. They're looking over all the passengers. How many things are wrong in this picture? Shaved head, Sika, Tila, Kunti Mala, saffron cloth. Took them off the bus. Put them by the side of the road. Two of them standing next to each other. Set up the machine gun. Pulled it back and aimed. And Brahmananda said to Pusta Krishna, he said, Prabhu, put your hand in your bead bag. We're going back to Godhead. And they posed just like they were getting a photograph snap. They were... What could they do? You know, you have to surrender. They were Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. And to the credit of the Pakistani soldiers, they could understand these are saintly people. So they said, okay, you get back on the bus, and they let the devotees go. So, the point I'm trying to make, the greatest fear of death, completely broken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. All this anxiety chasing, you know, like on a treadmill, the faster you run, the faster it turns, you know, trying to get more, 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 bigger, bigger, bigger. Well, that's snapped by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're freed from that. I was at the LA, I've mentioned the LA Ratha Yatra. By Krishna's grace, I get the service of being in charge of the free prasadam booth. Oh, it's so blissful, you know. 2 hours. 18,000 plates of full prasadam. And then it goes on, but in that rush, the initial rush, 18,000 plates in 2 hours. So, and when everything's going on nicely, I like to slip out and hear the devotees, you know, question and answer. You know, I like to hear how the devotees answer things. So Jayadvaita Swami was in the booth, you know, question and answer booth. Now, Matajis, please don't take offense. It could have been large men. It happened to be large women. I was standing, you know, these two very, very large women, 250, 300 pounds. As we say in America, land whales. they were big size, you know. So I was trying to see around them, you know. I was like trying to, you know. But I could hear. Jayadvaita Maharaj said, the cornerstone principle, the opening door, the beginning essential understanding of spiritual life is that we are not this body. And one of the ladies turned to the other and said, oh, that's a relief. It's true. It's 100% true. But to become free from the concept that we're not this body. We're not old. We're not young. We're not black. We're not white. We're free from death. Okay, that's all the negative. You can, you know, not like a number line, you go from negative to zero, and the whole positive side, all the different sweet ways of serving Krishna, pure Krishna prema, there's all the five different rasas, and man of the apex of that in Bhumi, you know, Braj Bhumi, that just give everything to Krishna. Prabhupada said one time they asked Prabhupada, what's the difference between Vishnu and Krishna? Prabhupada said, Vishnu is God in the office and Krishna is God at home. You know, sweet Shama Sundar. So we should take the time today on this day is like a portal, you know, like an opening that you can, you know, beam me up to a higher planet. This is an auspicious day. It opens up. And on this day, we should offer prayers of appreciation and gratitude to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, that's good. But also, what are we going to do for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? This is a chance to help push Chaitanya. Please offer a prayer that let me engage in the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one last thing, and then we'll end. Who here has a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas? Anyone have a set of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Okay, so many of you don't. Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered the PhD study of Vedic literature. It is the life and pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is one of the devotees wanted to open a sweet shop on the campus, University of California, Berkeley, selling Bengali sweets. Prabhupada told him, no, you sell the best Bengali sweet, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please, when you leave here today, we have a bookshop, isn't it? We have book tape. Buy a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. It is the best investment you're going to make in your life. You read this book, you will become Krishna conscious. You will see Krishna face to face. You will be on a strong foundation of spiritual life. We're all reading something. In America, they have Dear Abby. You know Dear Abby? An advice column? She's famous in America, Dear Abby. She's famous for giving marriage advice, you know? She's been divorced 3 times. Oh, I mean, what's wrong in this picture, you know? So, we're all listening to advice. We're getting advice from so many different things. You read, it says in the Bhagavatam that if you walk on a path barefoot, so many sticks, so many rocks, it's hard to walk, isn't it? You put on shoes, you can traverse easily. The transcendental knowledge, Divya Gyan, is like shoes that allow us to traverse the path of life. I don't get a commission if you buy a Chaitanya Charitamrita. I have a set. You know, I have it on folio. I don't, you know. Please, on this auspicious day, buy a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. If you already have a set, fine. Buy a set for your neighbor or your good friend and give him a set. And if you can't afford a set of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have this nice book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Buy a book and read it. This is profound knowledge. It will change your life. It will free you from anxiety. What is it? Brahmabhuta prasannatma na sojate na kanchate. No more hankering, no more lamenting, tasting the happiness of the soul. Tushanti cha ramanti cha. So, all glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his message. Thank you for sitting so patiently, and I think we can end there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.